He's been helping people like you pursue better investment and financial planning strategies for nearly 20 years right here in San Diego. Welcome, author, certified financial planner, and your host of Financial Detox, Jason Labrum.
I need a dollar, 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 that's what I need.
Hey, thank you, Justin, and welcome to the show, everybody. This is Jason Labrum of Financial Detox, your host right here out of the AM 760 KFMB studios in beautiful San Diego. Alex Klingensmith is with me. We've been on a roll, buddy. You've been here like a lot lately.
This year, yeah. I think last year I left you hanging in the fall time because the weather was too good and the surf was too nice.
Weather was good, surf was good, and you went surfing and weathering, and I worked. That's messed up, man. That's what happens when you're the primary business owner. I'm going to give you 51% of the business, and then I'm going to go surf.
You got to go to Mammoth last weekend, right?
Well,
wait a minute. How was Mammoth?
Maybe. It's good. You know, the coverage is thin, but yet it skis really well. So
the
get up to Mammoth.
You had a cornice and things looked like it was fine. It looked beautiful out
there. It looked cool. I mean, I got my 7 and 8 year old boys to ski cornice for their first time. And it was cornices, if you don't know, is a nice black diamond run at the top of Mammoth Mountain. It's pretty cool. And so they were scared to death. They both got teary-eyed right at the beginning. And I'm like, come on, guys. You can do it. Believe in yourselves. Let's just go. And they did it.
They did it.
And then they wanted to do it again.
How many times did you do this cornice?
Twice.
Nice. That's
and
awesome.
And then we were bonked, man. We skied a lot, so we were tired. But anyway, yeah, it was fun. It was fun. And then coming back here to 80-degree weather is interesting. It was 55, by the way. And it's 55 all week up there.
Yeah.
So the snow's melting. I mean, rapidly melting.
Yeah.
But it's whatever, that's the way it goes. We have a great show, and we are glad you are here. Financial Detox, we are cleansing the impurities that reside inside of most thoughts about your finances and about investing. And the difference is enormous. The difference of succeeding and being financially detoxified when it comes to investing versus being toxified and focusing on the wrong things and the things that you can't control versus focusing on the things that you can control can make a monumental change in your life's financial well-being. We did the numbers last week or a couple of weeks ago, and we looked at the average returns of all equity investors versus the markets. And if you just embrace the power of the markets and harness that power as opposed to try and beat it or try and outwit it or try and outsmart it, the returns of the average investor are 3.9% over 30 years. The returns of a globally equity diversified portfolio are 13.3%. So people did a horrible job. And in general, you can say that investors receive less than half, in general, of the market performance.
Yeah.
Now, we go through a thing often talking about how the market is not the S&P 500, the Dow Jones, or the NASDAQ. It is a combination of all stocks and all bonds across the globe. That's the market. So when you take the average investor's returns are less than half of the market, that is a shame, and that stinks. And that's what Financial Detox is about, helping bridge the gap and get you, as our listeners, to get more market-like and possibly even better returns by avoiding the great behavioral blunders that most investors make when it comes to investing. We're going to talk a lot about that today, and we're going to talk a lot about the market and where it is, because we are hearing every single day how the market is high. Should we get out? What should we do now? The market is high. Should I sell? I listened to CNBC the other day, and I'm not digging on CNBC in any way, shape, or form. I'd love to get on CNBC, by the way. So if anybody from CNBC hears this, let's go. Let's do this.
Put me in, coach.
So it's hard to talk smack on somebody who you want to be on, right? Because that doesn't make very much sense. That's
See,
not
my
very fair.
Opinion is.
But anyway, so here's the deal, right? So I was listening to somebody talk. I think it was Mark Faber, I think his name is. Great guy, a very smart guy and a good reporter. But he had a guest on, and he said, you know, we got to help our listeners here because, you know, we got listeners and they don't know whether they should buy today or sell today, or they should hold, or should they be buying, or should they be selling. And I just vomited inside my mouth. I'm sorry for the visual. But it made me sick. It's the wrong question to be asking.
Well, he's trying to get people panicked almost in that, with that kind of question. It's like, I got to do something.
You're driving panic or you're driving euphoria. You're taking the extremes of emotions. I got to do something. I got to do something. No, what you have to do is nothing. Don't change your portfolio if it's set up correctly. But how do you know if it's set up correctly? And so this whole, I got to buy, should I buy, should I sell? All those are the wrong questions to be asking. The right question to be asking is, do I have a concrete, proper financial plan? Do I have a discipline? Do I have an investment philosophy that I can verbalize? Do I know how much risk I'm exposed to when this market does turn around? That's what we're talking about today.
That's
on Financial Detox.
Right there, right? That's the show. Action items.
It's going to be beautiful.
Takeaways for our listeners.
Yeah, yeah.
And real stuff, not like evoking
this
action.
This is tangible. Take it home. You got to write this down. You got to listen. You got to send us an email and give us a call because we want to hear from you. If you have questions relating to your own financial situation, we are here to help. That's what the Financial Detox team at Labrum Wealth Management is all about. You can reach us. Simply send an email right to my inbox, jason@financialdetox.com. Once again, that is jason@financialdetox.com. You can always give us a ring if that's easier, 877-707-8889. So with no further ado, we have our $100 portfolio challenge. It's still there. It is live and well. This thing is rocking. And what that is we give you an opportunity to share with us your portfolio. We will run it through our analytical tools and compare it to a similar risk-adjusted portfolio and show you what we do for our clients and what we think is a financially detoxified way to invest. And we'll compare that side by side to your portfolio. If we cannot make measurable improvement in your portfolio, in your situation, we're going to send you away with a $100 Visa cash gift card. No questions, ifs, ands, or buts. You got a $100 Visa cash gift card. Go spend it wherever you want. Go to lunch or dinner and have a good time. If we can, however, make measurable improvement, then you're going to earn a lot more than $100 on the long-term benefits provided by enhancing your portfolio. Here's the news, folks. We've done this over 30, 40 times in the last 12 months, and we've never given away a card.
No.
I would love to give away.
It would be cool to see one that we're
current
like,
clients don't get to use this.
Well, yeah, because that would be kind of unfair advantage. They were working on two of them as we left to drive down here today, actually.
Yes.
Two of these portfolio challenges. My favorite part, though, is the conversation that takes place after, you know, you send us in your information, our analysts do their work.
Yep.
Then they engage you, they reach out, have a conversation. But they're going to specifically, in simple layman's terms even, explain, here's three or four things that are actionable, that are easy to understand, that you will be able to have evidence around why these things are better and different, and how you can do it on your own, or if you don't want to, or you think we would do a better job, like Jason said, you obviously have a resource there, a solution.
Yeah, and so let's talk about a couple examples of what they might see. And here we're still talking about this fiduciary portfolio challenge, which you can get by simply sending an email to jason@financialdetox.com and say, I want the fiduciary challenge, or you can also just shoot a text and say portfolio challenge to 760-845-5338. That's 760-845-5338. And so let's get engaged and do that. But here's some of the things that we find in there. The most typical inaccuracies or shortcomings of a portfolio of a prospective client of our firm or of a listener of our show. What would you say? I'd say number one is the massive over-concentration to U.S. stocks.
You know what even happens before that one? That's step two, usually. The first thing they talk about is the first question we ask our listener is, you know, what do you think your composition of stocks versus bonds are? It's kind of like, you know, that's the first step. Like how much risk, like you were saying earlier, are you currently taking on? How much volatility are you currently? And it's amazing that we can see it immediately in the analysis, but that first kind of acknowledgement of like, it's like admitting that you have a problem. Like, I don't like risk. I don't like volatility. Did you know that you're 90% stocks?
Yeah. Like, well, and the way to think about that even more simply, man, we're going good. We're getting simplified here today. So is stocks are your aggressive bucket and bonds are your conservative bucket. Now there's varying degrees of each, but generally speaking, stocks are more aggressive, higher growth rates, more volatility. Yeah. Bonds are more conservative, lower growth rates, lower returns and lower volatility.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's a good point is like, do you know what you have? And unfortunately, too many people don't, or they say, I don't want risk. And like you just said, Alex, they are in a full on risk on portfolio, but yet they said they don't want a lot of risk. So this is just these are things you have to know. So I think what we're doing is we're dovetailing this whole portfolio challenge, because I've had friends say to me when they listen to the show repeatedly, quit telling me your phone number. If you say your phone number again, I'm going to kill you, right?
And they already have your phone number.
Yeah, right? They know my phone number, so it's not fair. So if you know my phone number and you're listening, come on, bear with me, man. But some people don't, right? And we want them to give
us a call. They want real content. I get it. That's cool.
We are trying to help people, and that's our goal. And that's our the whole mantra of our firm is to serve more people. And that's what the Financial Detox team at Labor and Wealth Management does. So those are the things, you know, like too much equity exposure, too much U.S. equity. Oftentimes, we see a portfolio that has little to no small or mid-cap exposure.
Right.
In other words, people know Facebook, they know Home Depot, they know Dow Chemical, they know Google,
Amazon,
they know
Amazon
and J.P. Morgan and Bank of America and Apple. Yeah. And so they have a portfolio composed of all those things. But what they're missing out on is the thousands and thousands of stocks that they've never heard the names of that are phenomenal companies that are creating revenues and income and profits and returns and dividends and
so
they don't know.
Asset class diversification. Then back to what you were saying is that most portfolios that we see are heavily U.S. biased, which I love America.
Me too.
The
Big
State
fan.
Of the Union, right, was this week.
We got to talk about that because I was fired up.
I can only imagine you're probably out there with your U.S. boxers.
We had Make America Great hat on. we were partying.
But in your portfolio, is it good to have 99% U.S. stocks?
No. How many stocks are generated? How many stocks in the world come from the United States?
Is it 53%?
Exactly. Okay, so 52-3% of all the stocks in the world that come from the United States. Now, I don't necessarily think you should have 52% of your portfolio in U.S. stocks. We favor the U.S. a bit and tilt a little more towards the U.S., about 65%. But good stuff. So listen, we're going to get right into some actionable items when we come back. Take up the portfolio challenge. Take it. You have nothing to lose. Shoot an email to jason@financialdetox.com. Thanks for listening. Stay with us. We're going to be right back with a bunch of great information. Welcome back to the show. This is Jason Labrum, your host of Financial Detox. We're so stoked to be here. And thank you so much for listening and making this show more and more popular every week. I mean, we're gaining listeners. We're having a blast. We're the hour right before, I think it's called Your Money, Your Wealth, right, Justin? Yeah, Your Money, Your Wealth with Musio. And
that's a cool name.
And I love the other, who's my Italian buddy? Joe Vecchio. Sorry, Joe.
Vecchio and Musio.
Oh, they're the best, dude. Yeah. They're the Italian stallions.
Go to the Godfather.
And they have a great show, and they have an agendaless program, right? They really don't even have a back-end business. We have a back-end business, right? We are growing a wealth management firm called Labrum Wealth Management. That's why I always say the Financial Detox team at Labrum Wealth Management. But it's an action-packed couple hours on Saturday night, AM 760 KFMB. But we also like you to know that you can get our show on a podcast. So anywhere you listen to podcasts, if you search for Financial Detox, you're going to be able to get the podcast. And it's phenomenal from a listener perspective because you get to strip out any commercials. And we also strip out a lot of the call to actions. So when we're saying, hey, you know, call us for the portfolio challenge. If you already know us and you're a regular listener, maybe you don't want to hear that every day or every week. But regardless, it's a different way to hear it. It's a different medium, and it's a cool thing. I really have kind of got into podcasts over last year. Was the first time I started listening to them, and I love it, man. Joe Rogan's podcast is really fun too.
Oh, he's a funny guy. I bet those are good. TED Talks are always good too, right?
Yeah, TED Talks, Joe Rogan, good stuff. So
we listen to Wow in the World. Have you ever heard that one with
no,
the kids? It's a kid one called Wow in the World. It teaches you like lots of science stuff, and it's pretty funny.
Why don't I have that? I'm gonna tell me that. Remind me after the show, so I download it.
It's
is this a podcast?
Yeah, it's
How
a
cool.
podcast. Yeah, Wow in the World.
Awesome.
Really funny.
I love kids, man. Isn't it cool being a dad?
It's amazing.
It's the best thing ever.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just really special. So anyway, that's fun. Off track. Sorry.
That's okay.
A little sentimental moment there. But
you know what we haven't talked about yet that we need to? We have a lot. You have a lot of events coming up, Jason. And so we have on our website, you just go to the financialdetox.com or labrumwealth.com website and go to events.
Yeah. If you just go to labrumwealth.com/events, or you just click on the events either way, and you will see them there. So we have a February 20th event that's kind of focused on business owners.
It's keeping more of what you earn.
Yeah. And tax deferred accounts and ways to save money and reduce your taxes.
And also, I think you and Mark Robertson, right, are going to speak specifically about before and after. So 2017 tax law, 2018 tax law. What's interesting about that is a lot of the stuff that maybe didn't actually change is causing a lot of the business owner clients and listeners that we have to think more critically about what they should be doing.
Yes.
So even if the tax, one of the best things that's come out of the tax thing for all the other good things that's happened, and some bad maybe, but is that people are paying attention again.
Right.
Like, how can I save more of my money or keep more of my money that I've earned rather than maybe give paying it to taxes?
Speaking of taxes, yes. Before we go, we have the other events. Let's at least say the dates,
February
right?
20th is that one. That's a Tuesday coming off President's Day weekend. It's at noon at the Holiday Inn in Bressy Ranch on the events. Again, it's on the website, but just in case you're curious. The other ones are March 21st.
6 p.m.
6 p.m. And that these next coming ones are at the Dove Library, which is a beautiful library in
Carlsbad, awesome library,
in the Costa area.
Great place.
March 28th, which is a Wednesday. So Wednesday the 21st, Wednesday the 28th, Thursday the 29th, all 6 p.m., all at Dove Library.
Yeah, so the reason why you want to come to one of these events is, A, you get to meet us live. You get to hang out. We're going to be giving out some free books at these events because our new book.
Yeah, your book will be
out.
My
new book will be Launched Financial Detox, How to Avoid Toxic Advice and Manage Your Wealth for Maximum Impact. Booyah. But you get to come and see us live. It's fun. We're entertaining. We're nice human beings. We're fairly normal. And and besides that, you're going to leave with a workbook that has tangible, actionable ideas packed within it. Yeah. You are going to make a difference in your financial life by attending one of our events. There is no agenda for us to sell you an annuity like every other invitation you get in the mail. I've received three of these invitations in the last 2 weeks at my home, and I read them, and I've been doing this for 20 years, and I can tell you exactly what this person is trying to do. It's different people. They are trying to sell me an annuity. They don't even
know me. Did you buy one?
No. They don't even know me, but they are trying to sell me an annuity. They have an event that is totally structured around, we're going to guarantee your income for your life. Look, there's a lot of ways to guarantee your income for life, and you may or may not want an annuity. There's probably a pretty good chance you don't. But again, you may. So it depends. But
these events, though, I think of them as like this, because you're actually going to go back to UCSD in a couple of weeks, I think, to speak at.
I am. I get to speak with Joe Picuri.
So the same kind of. Awesome. He was a guest recently.
He was a guest,
too.
Yeah.
But the same kind of agenda or type of setting. It's a classroom type setting where, same as Jason's going to go and speak to, it's like a senior class at UCSD or graduate class or something on economics or financial.
I don't know. He has 128 people in that class.
It's a lot. It's a big class. But
it's gonna be fun.
It's the same kind of thing where, so think if you are a student of, if you want to be a student of, or if you are a student of investments and financial planning and taxes, you got it. That's how you have to approach this. Like, we're not to go and be sold something, but rather than to learn.
Right. And if you take it away and do it on your own, awesome. You were there. You know, eventually we're going to start charging for these. Probably we're not right now. So it's a free event. You get to come in and attend for free. And so it's an event that you're going to walk away with some information. Go to labrumwealth.com/events, labrumwealth.com/events. You can grab all those and you can register right there on the website. Yeah. I got to talk about current news, cause we didn't talk about any, and the State of the Union was unbelievable.
Yeah.
And I think the Democrats are so pathetic, it's unbelievable.
Let's focus on the positive first.
Yes. Okay. So the fact that if everything President Trump has done was done by Hillary Clinton and she was our president, the praise would be deafening. The praise from the media would be deafening. And it's sickening to me to think about what the left is trying to do. They are going so far left that you talk about Nancy Pelosi and crumbs, right? She says it's crumbs that people are getting, that 3 million people in this country got at least $1,000 or bigger bonus. And she says that's crumbs, because it's crumbs to her, because she's been sucking off society for her whole life and her whole career.
Is this the positive part we're focusing on?
Was that positive? No. But so look, here's the deal. Look at all the phenomenal things that are going on.
Yeah, in 1 year.
In one year. It is remarkable, the accomplishments. If you hate Trump and his personality, I can't blame you. But because he lacks an enormous amount of humility and tact and
likability,
charisma
is not. Yeah,
likability is not high. But if you ignore that likability factor and you look at what he is doing as a president, it is so good for our country. It is so positive for our country to put the power back in the hands of the human beings, the business owners, the people, the individuals, the workers. That's where the power should reside. It shouldn't reside in the politicians
and the government, yeah.
And the government who are getting paid to serve us, but yet they're now, but they want to control us.
You know, my favorite outcome so far, yeah. We talked about this on last week's show,
yeah.
In terms of the corporations that are hiring and creating more jobs and all these ripple effects because of the actions on the tax change that he did,
yep.
Effectively make happen, which almost no one thought maybe was going to happen until the last minute. But so what also happened this week, not to change the subject, but yeah. on top of the subject is you read the headline about Amazon, JP Morgan, and Berkshire
yep.
teaming up to create their own private healthcare for their
exactly.
own 1.2 million employees that those three companies employ.
Beautiful.
So
it's awesome.
They're taking on the health insurance industry.
Which is huge.
Because they have money to do it now.
They
right?
do. And it is so beautiful. So, you know, just a message to all the haters out there. You're going to make yourself look really stupid in the long run here because good things are happening. And if you are a hardcore Democrat or liberal voting for those policies, what you're voting for is dependency on the government. You're voting away your own power. You're voting away the ability to make decisions for yourself, to own a business, to run things, to make a good wage from a successful business. And you're voting yourself. It's almost like the movie Game of Thrones, where you have the entire populace.
Are you watching Game of Thrones now?
The new show's not out, but I did watch the whole thing. I loved that. The whole populace is depending on crumbs, Nancy Pelosi, literally crumbs from the leaders and the dictators and the politicians. And they give them a piece of bread and they praise and thank God that their leader gave them a piece of bread to survive that day.
What's the blonde girl's
instead
name?
Khaleesi.
So Khaleesi is the one who's trying to shatter the whole system.
She's trying
right?
to crush the system. And she's for people having power.
Free the
she's
slaves
the Republican
and, yeah.
and the Donald Trump. And Nancy Pelosi is the other lady.
She's a lot more likable than Donald Trump, though. I would way rather.
I would vote for Khaleesi.
Yeah.
I vote for Khaleesi. And she's got a badass army.
She's dragons.
And she's dragons. Not only an army, but dragons. So this is a great show. I love this. But anyway, look, I got to say, you really have to think about, do you want the power of your life, your ability to create and preserve wealth in the hands of Nancy Pelosi and the government? Or do you want power in the hands of yourself and your own abilities and your family? So meanwhile, while Trump has crushed ISIS, while Trump has brought on the biggest tax reduction for all Americans, almost all Americans, that's happened since back when Reagan changed the taxes, I could go on for an hour. Meanwhile, guess what the Democrats have done for you here in California? They are saving the world, Alex.
Are they?
One straw at a time.
Because
now it is illegal to serve a straw
yeah.
to a patron of a restaurant
I
who
saw
has
the
not
video.
Specifically asked for the straw.
I did see the video.
We're going to punish
with the
waiters.
With the poor turtle in Costa Rica.
That's cute. Good touching
sad,
video.
Man.
Yeah, that's great.
It was
great.
Really sad.
Yeah, look.
I don't use straws
so
anyways,
why don't we just,
I don't think it should be illegal.
Why don't we just not let anybody make straws? But
yeah.
You're going to take a waiter who inadvertently gives a person a straw to drink their drink, and they're going to go to six months in jail.
I was a surfer when I was in college.
But you know what? Congratulations to the California Democrats. You are making huge strides. You are saving the world one straw at a time. We're going to come back and actually talk about wealth management, and we are going to give you some good information. That was my political rant for the day. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Okay, welcome back. I promise I'm done with my political rants for the day. This is Jason, your host of Financial Detox, in studio with Alex Klingensmith. But you know, some things just make sense and some don't. And it's great to see the power go to the people. That's what this country was created on. I guess I'm not done with my political
rants. You know,
wait.
We started the show saying we're going to give people four actionable ways to address
power
the biggest,
to the people.
The biggest
create and preserve wealth. All right.
Look,
so
there's a question in our, as an individual investor, as a company that we are for-profit wealth management fiduciary firm, there's the same question we're all being posed, is that it's impossible to ignore that if you look back since the 30s, there are cycles in the markets, plural.
Yes.
The stock markets, bond
yes.
markets, international, domestic, abroad, everything. So then you would say, all right, well then looking forward, there will be something that happens. We don't know when or how bad or for how long it will last or what will cause it or what will cause it to continue. Or how it will rebound or when it will rebound. It's going to happen, right? and a lot of the media, like this week, everybody, all the media jumped on the 2 days where the Dow Jones was down, you know, 1, 2, 3.
Should I buy? Should I sell? Should I get out? Should I hold? What should I do? Oh my gosh, I got to do something. No, you don't have to do
it. It was a tiny bit of like, it's like feeding a fire a tiny bit of gasoline.
Oh man. Yep.
So then we were talking about this earlier today. There are large firms out there with lots and lots of money that have reacted, I think, poorly in the past and how they communicate to their client base and how they mm-hmm. communicate to society. Sometimes they just ignore it and hope it'll go away. I don't know. There's all kinds of stuff. So what is the message then that we are telling people? It's going to come. We're not pretending like it's not. We don't know when. We don't know how. All those things. But what do people do? Where do they start? How do they prepare themselves for, like the analogy we were talking about was a car crash. If you knew you were going to get into a car crash, what would you do 30 minutes before you got in? What would you
not
do
get in
minutes?
The car?
So that's one way you can avoid. You can avoid the whole
market volatility.
Mm-hmm.
You so can avoid, translating that, you can avoid market volatility by creating a portfolio that has a very low volatility. It would be short term bonds, maybe some multi sector bonds, tiny, tiny bit of equity or 10% of equity or so.
Yeah.
And you would have an extremely, extremely low volatile portfolio.
What if you couldn't get out of the? What if you had to get in the car and you knew that there was going to be an accident and you couldn't avoid it?
Buckle in, seatbelt, stay disciplined.
So start with the plan, right?
Yep.
What is your plan? What is the? And this is the real metaphor. Like pretend like this is you're in a car, you can't get out of the car. Something's going to hit you. That's the event that's coming.
Right. So I think what Alex is saying, just for some clarification, because I'm not sure I'd be following, but I get your idea.
Hopefully you're not driving and scared,
by the way. It's good, Dad. Just drive safe, please. But, you know, what we're trying to do is say, look, the market is great. And we saw a tiny bit of volatility this week. The market's been doing amazing. We're hitting new highs over and over again. And people are asking, what should I do? And we're going to tell you what you should do right now. We're going to tell you what you should do right now. And talk is cheap. Action is expensive. It's hard to take action. Everybody talks. Everybody says they're going to do something. But do you actually implement? So that's what we're talking about, right? We're here to help you implement. And you can always call us and ask us questions. And that's what we're here for. So jason@financialdetox.com is my email. We want to hear from you. We want to help you. And the best way to do this is probably take us up on our portfolio challenge. We'll get to that in a minute here. But so look, number one is if you don't have a plan of where you want to go, if you don't make a plan and develop a roadmap, you're going to end up somewhere else. Yogi Berra quote. If you don't have a plan of where you want to go, you're going to end up somewhere else.
And then wherever you are, there you are.
And there's nothing you can do about it at that point, or there's little you can do. So you have to make a plan. And what does that mean? Like, what does a plan mean?
It means you plan for this event. You say it's going to happen, and how is it going to affect my end outcome? And then how do all these things fit together?
Correct. So, and a plan, not only when we do a plan for our clients, we're taking into account every aspect of their financial life, all their income, all their assets, any of their debts or liabilities, their expected and desired expenses in retirement, inflation, the taxes that they're going to pay, every aspect of
unexpected
the
unexpected expenses.
Unexpected
actually
expenses.
Expected, but you don't want to talk about them or think about
them.
Because when they come
real
up,
budgeting.
You're like, oh, that's the credit card. Never mind.
Yeah. So those are the things that we're putting into a plan so that then the next thing is saying, okay, I need to know how much volatility I am willing to accept. And you need to confirm that your portfolio is designed to deliver that amount of volatility. Here's what I mean. We construct portfolios at our firm from 0 up to 10. Literally, they're numbered at the Financial Detox team at Labor and Wealth Management. If you have a 0 portfolio, you are exposed to a very, very small amount of volatility. Not 0, but close.
In 2008, you didn't
In 2008, you were down 1.2%. 1% for the whole year. The worst.
Even though bonds went down?
Bonds went down. You weren't down more than 1.2% because you had certain type of bonds, short-term, conservative, super conservative portfolio. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 10 is aggressive growth.
100%
if you were in 10,
stocks.
You're 100% equity. You've got a good dose of small cap, a good dose of international and emerging markets, and that bad boy went down 40.7%.
Yeah.
So you need to know as a financial detox listener and You've got us. We're here to help you. You need to know how much volatility your portfolio is exposed to, and does that match what you're willing to tolerate? Because the thought process of should I buy or should I sell, should I get out, should I, those are the wrong questions. The question should be, is my portfolio situated so that when volatility comes, when the next market crash comes, I'm going to be able to stay to my discipline and stay to my philosophy. So what is your next? What is your discipline / investment philosophy? Is it one that says I'm going to time the market, and when I think it's high, I'm going to get out, and then when I think it's low, I'm going to get out? A lot of people have that philosophy, or they inherently have it. They don't really have it.
Yeah.
But that's what they emotionally end up doing.
I think a lot of us, I used to be like this when I first bought my first stock. I didn't really know what was going on. I can remember it was AIG.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I'm going to buy AIG. And I was in and out of that thing all the time. And I wasn't even admitting to myself that I was trying to time anything, because I'm like, well, I'm investing, you know, but right. I had no
philosophy.
There's no long-term thought there or discipline. Like you said,
yeah.
It's just like, well, I know something about this company that other people don't know because I read more about it than most of my friends, but that's nothing, right?
I mean, compared to the total combined all market participants and what they know about that stock, every analyst, there's no way we as individuals or even small groups of people or even large companies can know as much as the entire market knows about a stock. Therefore, we hear this all the time. I really know this company. I used to work there. I worked there for years and years and years. I know everything about this company. Well, you don't. You don't know as much as the combined market knowledge, and the combined market knowledge has created the price of that security, which accurately reflects all the available information. So number one, you have to have a plan.
Plan.
We help you build a plan. Call Labrum Wealth Management and the Financial Detox team at Labrum Wealth Management. Take us up on our portfolio challenge. We'll start this process. You can do that by calling us at 877-707-8889, 877-707-8889. So you have a plan. Then you need to know how much volatility you are exposed to, and does that volatility match your tolerance for volatility? In other words, if you do the $100 portfolio challenge with Labrum Wealth Management and you are down and your portfolio is exposed to 35% volatility, and you say, I could never handle 35% volatility, I would freak out and sell, I would panic, I can handle 10%, then you're in the wrong portfolio, and we'll help you fix
that. And match it with the plan too, right? I mean, that's a big part, is maybe you're required to make more than you can handle, and we have to get there and close that gap.
Yeah.
But it's better.
A lot of times people are in a portfolio that takes more risk than they even need to accomplish their goals, and that's the worst. So we want to help you construct a portfolio that takes the least amount of risk possible and gets you to your goal. So we have a plan. We know how much volatility we're exposed to. We know how much volatility we're willing to tolerate.
Yep.
Discipline and philosophy.
Number three.
Who was the quote? I don't have it in front of me. But the greatest quote, I think it was Ken French. Or
what's the quote?
The quote was, the most important thing about an investment philosophy is that you have one.
That's David Booth.
David Booth.
Yeah.
You have to have one.
Founder of Dimensional Funds.
Right? You have to have an investment philosophy. I buy these stocks. I hold them. I invest in index fund. I buy Bitcoin. Have a philosophy. Heck, even if it's wrong, have one. At least you'll realize eventually that it's wrong and you'll build a new philosophy.
Yeah.
Our investment philosophy is that you get broadly diversified across the portfolio in a portfolio that matches your risk tolerance, all the things we're talking about, your willingness to tolerate volatility. And then you stick to that discipline and you stick to that plan and you constantly review and monitor. By constantly review and monitor, I mean quarterly with your fiduciary wealth advisor.
But it's so hard to
stick to it. Is this boring?
No, I think it's important. I think that real planning and real good action advice is typically not the most exciting thing.
Yeah.
Like, we have a crystal ball and we have a new cryptocurrency that we're going to throw in the mix.
You're going to make 35% guaranteed.
The last one, I think, number four, you're going to talk about check your info.
Number four is I put emotionally. You just can't react emotionally. You can't let the volatility that the market comes. Because if you do 1, 2, 3, you're not going to be emotional because you're going to know that volatility is eventually coming. You're going to have
what if a trusted friend or resource of information that you trust steers you in a different direction.
What does that mean?
Well, and we're going to run out of time, so maybe we'll just bring this into the next one, because this is probably for me, and we're going to have an event with Dimensional actually later this in the springtime that talks a lot about this, because we all are, even advisors, even fiduciary advisors like us, can fall victim to getting the wrong advice from someone who's a good person who actually cares about you, or a good resource that you're used to getting good advice from.
I think this ties into seeking advice or getting counsel. Advice comes from friends and family, and it's most often wrong,
yes,
or can very easily be wrong. Seek counsel. That's somebody who's a professional, who's legally bound to do what's in your best interest. Somebody who's a professional who knows what they're doing, who has experiences and can help you. All right, welcome back. Thank you, Justin, for rocking a little country music for me there. Not country western, country music. Welcome back to the show. We've been going off about a lot of things. We threw in some politics. We talked about some current events, the State of the Union, which was great and very positive, I think, for our country to put the power back in the hands of the people. We're talking about what you should do right now, given the volatility that we saw this week, a little bit of volatility in the stock market. Scary. Woo. Should I buy? Should I sell? Panic, freak out, get excited. I don't know. That's what you're hearing on the news. When I listened to CNBC, the first thing I heard this week during the volatility was, you know, we got to help our listeners decide whether they're going to buy or sell. They got to take some action. You have to take action. There's this preconceived idea out there that when volatility happens, you need to take action. And that's the worst thing you can do. What you do instead is you take action right now to build a financial plan, know how much volatility you are willing to tolerate, because you cannot get in and get out and time the market with any accuracy whatsoever, period, Warren Buffett quote. You cannot, no one can time, I never met anybody who can time the market with any accuracy whatsoever, period, Warren Buffett. You can't time the market because there's too many components you have to get right. First of all, you have to get right when to get out, because you have to guess when to get out. And then if you get out and the market starts creeping up, you're going to feel bad and you're going to eventually jump in. And then when it starts going down, then you're going to get out. And then when do you get back in? So you have to
Sounds stressful.
It's very stressful, and you have to get a couple 50-50 guesses right. So your chances of getting a couple 50-50 guesses right is 25% at the highest. It's a loser's game. It's a stressful, emotional loser's game.
And if you mess it up, you really mess it up.
And it's just not worth it. But especially when, if you understand, if you build a plan, you understand how much volatility you're willing to tolerate, you build a portfolio that matches that, and then you stick to your discipline and investment philosophy, you can have this wild, unbelievable peace of mind when it comes to investing. You can create a regular income stream from your portfolio. You don't have to go buy an annuity, or you can buy an annuity if that's what's right for you. But you can create a regular income stream. You can ignore the massive market volatility when it comes again.
That's the part that I want to talk about to listeners, because I know what has happened, at least, and we all have this person or this thing or this, maybe it's a multiple sets of things where, like, when I want to know, like, something important in my life. Like I want to move maybe. I'm thinking about moving.
Yep.
I don't know. Some big decision, right?
Right.
Who are the first people or the first places that you go to seek advice? Or
friends and family.
Let's just call it information, not even advice.
Yeah.
You go friends and family. Like maybe if you watch the news, you listen to the radio, you read books, you read news. So there's all these different places. You Google it, right? The thing about when this event comes up, when this event does take place, it will take place, right? We know it's going to happen. It always has happened. It always will happen. It's the nature of what investments do.
Markets.
It's part of it. It's not a fun part of it, but it's an important part of it. Where are you going to go to seek your information? And is any of that information, or what if any of that information is actually useful in making decisions?
Right. I think, and what you're saying, I mean, is seek qualified advice. Qualified counsel.
How do you know what's qualified and what's not? What if I go talk to my broker or my Bitcoin broker or my, you know, I don't know anymore. Like,
so I do. I think you have to find somebody who is vested in your success. They don't make commissions for selling you certain products?
Could be my dad, and my dad might not pick.
But your dad may not. If your dad is a professional with lots of experience and has a track record, and then maybe he's the right person to get counsel from. But if your dad can't give you counsel means it comes from experience and professionalism, designations, knowledge, credentials.
What about the news?
That's counsel. The news absolutely has not.
Why?
Because
it meets those criteria that you just said.
No, it doesn't. The news is speaking to a broad audience with no specificity.
Why do we watch the news then?
Entertainment and to see what's going on, but it is not.
I think the first one was the kicker. There.
Well, no, to see what's going on. People are curious, right? We as human beings, look at the success of Facebook and Instagram. And people are so curious about other people. So the news is talking about other people and events, and people are curious to see what's going on. It is not counsel at all.
What about, so that you brought up social media, which is the next thing I was going to ask about, because the younger generations, I think the thing about social media that's really interesting is that similar to the news, it can be a broad audience type of thing, but then you can actually get very specific in social media and say, well, actually, that's more specific to me because I know that person through that person or through this person or whatever. So then how do you interpret social media information?
Well, I mean, this is kind of like, is the chair really there? Do we just think the chair is? I mean, we could go in circles on this thing forever, right? And so the point is, I think when it comes to your money, and this show is about financial detoxification and making good decisions about your money, your financial plan, your life, your college planning, your retirement income, all those things, you need to seek counsel from somebody who I believe, if I was on the other side of this table, I wouldn't even consider working with somebody who's not a fiduciary. What that means is somebody who's legally bound to act in your best interest under the duty of loyalty and the duty of care, while disclosing all conflicts of interest and preferably disclosing all of their compensation, because we have people who are quote unquote call themselves fiduciaries, but yet they're insurance only licensed people. They'll sell you an annuity and they'll tell you how much it costs you, but they don't tell you how much they're getting paid. And the reason why they don't tell you is because they're embarrassed for you to know the extreme amount they're getting paid. Oftentimes at our firm, we're committed to, if insurance was right for our clients, which sometimes it is, a lot of times it's not, we'll disclose how much we're actually getting paid. So it's a really important question and distinction. You should write this down or think about this so that you log this into your memory. When and if anybody's trying to sell you insurance or annuity, ask them, how much do I pay? What is my cost? Next question, how much are you getting paid? And can you verify that? Can you show me? How much are you getting paid? Because when you know how much the salesperson is getting paid, you now understand the level of bias or conflict of interest that may exist in that situation. I'm going to give you a specific example. If we bring $1 million client to our firm, and that client pays us, let's say 1%, which is about what they'd pay to manage their portfolio and do their financial plan. They're going to pay us $10,000 a year. We're going to do everything financial for them. Pretty good deal, considering we're going to add hopefully 3, 4, 5, 6, 7% of value to them. But they pay us $10,000 a year. That's broken into four quarterly payments of $2,500. So we get paid $2,500 to start that relationship. If the same $1 million client goes to one of the multiple other people on the radio or seminar advertisements that I've received at my house today,
to Ruth, Chris,
and to all these places where they're going to tell me how to guarantee my retirement income, that same $1 million portfolio would generate a commission in the 8% neighborhood, which would be $80,000. Let me revisit that. $1 million client comes to our firm. We stand to make $2,500 the first quarter. $1 million client goes to an annuity salesperson who's guaranteeing you income for your life off of some product. They don't do financial planning, but they got the great product with a writer, enhancements, and it's really special. They stand to make $80,000 versus $2,500. We might be in the wrong business. So do you see the conflict of interest and the bias, the product bias that is existent? If you don't ask the person trying to sell you an annuity or some product how much they make, you miss out on understanding the bias. So I don't know how we got on this, but I think that's really important.
This is really good, because what I'm trying to pose to listeners is you gave four really good takeaways.
Have a plan. Know your volatility. Mm-hmm. Know your volatility tolerance. Know how much volatility your portfolio is exposed to. But then also, just as important, know how much volatility you are willing to tolerate. At what point would you stop losing, or would you start losing sleep? At what point would you be really nervous and maybe want to sell?
Yeah.
Because selling at the bottom is the death of most people financially when it comes to investing.
And number three is the discipline.
You have to have a discipline and a strategy. You have to have a philosophy.
Maybe that those two should switch even. maybe have the discipline and the philosophy first, and then number three is
very good point.
Either way, not in order. But number four, though, is the one we were talking about just then with the insurance thing is when this event takes place.
Know where you're getting your advice.
Yes, that you need. You're going to seek information to help you stay disciplined, to revisit your plan, to revisit your portfolio. The information that you get from wherever you get it, you need to understand where it's coming from and what the agenda is what you were talking about, the insurance one too. And just to make sure that if you are going to take action, that it's action that's long-term, that's sustainable, and that meets the other three things that we went over already. Not just on a whim, not just because you just read this one article that just seems right, you know, or whatever.
Right. You can't do that. You got to put the whole package together. And that's why you want to hire a fiduciary advisor. So ask your advisor. Right now, ask him, ask him or her, are you a full-time, all-the-time fiduciary for me, legally bound to act in my best interest? It's a yes or no question. If they work at a big, large-name firm, the odds are they are not. Roughly 90% or 95% of advisors in this country are not fiduciaries. Ask them. You need to know. Number two, take us up on our portfolio challenge, the fiduciary portfolio challenge, where we will look at your portfolio, run it through our analytical tools. We will compare your portfolio towards what you have, then match it to your goals and see if we can't significantly improve your situation. If we can't significantly improve your situation, we're going to send you a $100 Visa cash gift card. You can spend it anywhere. If we can significantly improve your situation, we are going to make you a lot more money than $100. It's a win-win. Take us up on the $100 portfolio challenge after you ask your advisor if they are a fiduciary. You can do that by sending an email to jason@financialdetox.com. That's jason@financialdetox.com. Or you can simply give us a call at 877-707-8889. That's 877-707-8889. So with that being said, I want to thank a couple of people. J.R. Phillips, owner of real estate broker J.R. Phillips Group. He's awesome. JR@thejrphillipsgroup.com. If you're looking to buy or sell a home, you need to talk to J.R. And Mark Robertson of Caliber Home Loans in Encinitas, California. This dude can help you get a loan and the right loan for you. Mark.Robertson@CaliberHomeLoans.com. Please don't forget passwords. If you're trying to keep control of all your passwords, Keeper Security is where you need to go for a 35% discount to the best password protection and password vault. You got to go to KeeperSecurity.com/Jason. That's KeeperSecurity.com/Jason. Thanks for listening to the show. As always, check us out on our events page, labrumwealth.com/events. We will see you next week. Thanks so much.